The title of the book, Enter Night, and the author is K.A. Keith. And Mr. Keith joins us now on iUniverse Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be with you today.
Well, this is an amazing first of two parts, a two-part series. This mythical world, some call it a polycultural hero sagas. We're talking about fantasy, adventure, war, champions into deadly strife, and pre-natural forces vie for mastery. It's a type of work. For the casual reader, we are in awe of the creativity that goes into this. How do you do this?
Well, you just get it in your bones, and it has to come out. The story starts telling itself. But in all fairness, it was two decades plus, starting from Barnabas in New Orleans, where I was a student, and most recently writing in Times Square. So when it spans two decades, you kind of got to be careful to make sure there's no inaccuracies, make sure everything kind of meshes from start to finish. It certainly has evolved over time. But after a while, the characters get in you, and there's six or seven main characters and a whole host of minor ones, and they get in you, and they make you tell the story, because their personalities almost become real at that point.
Even with this type of fantasy, there's some real basic messages, though, that I think we all can relate to, like love of one betrothed, and love of one's comrades in arms, and love of country, and love of the divine. We all can embrace those kinds of messages.
I totally agree, and quite frankly, if it wasn't for those themes, the book would be flat, as stale bread. You know, the fantasy genre is wide open, and so you can speak to anything, and even more wide open is an epic of any sort, and just being defined by lengthy work that spans different places and times and whatever world setting is set in. So it allows you to touch on really a lot of things, and that makes it great. So the adventure travels across a variety of terrains, encountering classic cultural archetypes, so to say, both fantasy and real world. So inspiration can come from travel, the author's travel, your travel, my travel, time in nature, relationships, real world experience. In real life, I was a flight surgeon in the Air Force, had some deployment time, and also spent a quarter century in high volume ERs as an ER physician, which I'm still doing. And so that's a lot of human pathos I've been privileged to witness. And each person who's ever lived has seen turmoil and trial and can relate, if they wish, to many of the themes depicted in the novels.
The book is filled with violence and passion, but are we talking about R-rated kind of graphic, or how do you describe the violence and passion?
Well, if we were kids, I would say PG, but it might even be less than that now. Things have certainly changed.
Yes.
Frank Miller's Sin City, I would say, is extremely graphic, and if that's a 10 on a 1 to 10, this might be a 5, but it's got enough to keep you going. Similar works that come to mind would be Lord of the Rings, Hunger Games, Game of Thrones. Any medieval action adventure has to have warriors and warrioresses, priests and priestesses, assassins, warlocks, things like this. So there's some violence from that perspective, and it does have a definite military flair. And quite frankly, the real pathos of the battlefield doesn't get achieved until there's a certain amount of bloodletting. So there is that. In terms of sexual content, there's really virtually none. I think there's one scene between the protagonist and his wife. They've already got three kids, and he's getting ready to go off on the adventure, and they have a night of passion. Interestingly, I've got friends with young readers. It seems to be young ladies in that teenage years are really picking up on the genre, and maybe it's the Hunger Game thing. I don't know. So for the ones who are, you know, who have asked me about that, I said, well, just clip these two pages together and there won't be any more sex in the rest of the novel. So there's romantic tension, but there's not a lot of graphic sex, if any.
Well, let's talk about the characters. Start off with the hero and his nemesis.
The plot starts as two infants born simultaneously are infused with otherworldly energies as most ancient evil stirs, and it's a demon that's basically one of the elder titans. If you harken back to Greek mythology, before the gods of light, there's the kind of the more Gnothic forces, the titanic forces of the universe, and she's one of those. Anyway, she's lured a stellar being, an embryo star, and last minute, he sees she's going to lure him to his destruction. She wants his energy so she can basically be reborn, to come back to the surface of the earth, and basically an evil goddess. And so last minute, this little entity, this embryo star, bleeds out his energy into the two beings that happen to be born at that moment. And that's our hero and anti-hero. Appear on Farsinger the Night and Odessi's Malgrim. So they've got a portion of what I call the star burn, and each of them has that. The demoness is going to want it back from them. She can basically break free from her prison and do the whole rule of the world thing. So anyways, these characters, we fast forward at the start of the novel to three decades later, they're grown men. They're born into opposition, and their conflict will basically change the world.
You talk about the humanity of the soldier. Is that something portrayed in your novel?
Yes, fairly extensively. One of the characters, the main character up here on Farsinger, is a soldier in his king's service and is basically almost retired at the time to start the novel. He's called back into action as these heralds, these special people are walking around with this energy that the forces of evil kind of awaken. There's an evil empire that invades his home kingdom. There's sweeping surface wars while our band of galleons kind of goes underneath to stop the trouble at its source. So there's a lot of battle scenes and so forth, and there's a climactic battle at the end. And it really is where the metal meets the meat that you see some of the inner themes of the battlefield. And these come out time and time again in the novel.
And give us some examples of duty to country.
Well, the main character is essentially retired, and he's done his time from his military service. He's a knight and wound up being a captain in the King's Rangers. But as events stir and the kingdom's invaded by its ancient rival, he's called again back to duty. So that would be that in its simplest form. But in the deeper forms, you can do your duty in terms of walking around in your rank and place and march where they tell you, but you can go beyond. And it's that poignant sacrifice, leaving behind those they love, but knowing that in that faraway land, the sacrifice you make is protecting the ones you love becomes quite a poignant thing.
And what about the inspiration that comes by worshiping, as you put it, the divine?
Well, I believe the divine lives in all of us. There's that essential human spark that we all have. And, of course, people who are more in touch with their that message, however they get it, they can use organized religion or they can just be a spiritual person. But each person who recognizes the magic within them can get in touch with that divine. And people are little gods that walk around. You know, we order our world, we train our animals, we produce our food plots. Humans have done remarkable things, you know. You know, you look at a species like a German Shepherd, there's no species like that in nature. This is centuries of people working with their environment, taming it. And so we're little gods. And then the bigger themes, the themes where it's folks versus horrible odds, heroic struggles. It could be a little girl fighting a disease in a hospital bed, or it could be you know, a Sir Lancelot fighting a dragon. But people can heroically rise up and do mighty things, either with the pen or the sword, in their everyday lives. But here it's easier to portray because we do have knights riding stallions.
As we mentioned at the beginning, Enter Knight is the first of two books, and your second one is coming out soon.
Yes, sir. Our universe has been great. The second book has been done for some time. We're formatting. These are lengthy stories traversing a lot of time and distance in the world. Created, and so it qualifies as an epic, probably 600 plus words in the first pages in the first one, and an equal amount in the second one, and it's a two-part series, so they'll be done after that. It does have a sweeping feel to it.
I guess the hope of every author, especially with fantasy, you'd love to see it on the big screen.
Yes, seeing the book on film would be really neat. But, you know, you can't hold out for things like that that really aren't in the pipeline, and it's not the driving force. When you write something like this, it takes so long to do. It's decades of love and care and nurturing. You don't really hold out for something that's so far in the future, but it does lend itself to visual imagery, which is good. Really, the best satisfaction is someone coming up, and that's already happened. It's been out 3 weeks. A few people have come up and said they've learned something, and this is really neat. Say, well, I didn't know this, I didn't know that, and these are colleagues of mine or what have you. And even more neat would be a young reader to come up to you someday and say they learned something of the greater themes of duty or honor or love from the books. I think that's probably enough reward for anyone.
We've been listening to author K.A. Keith, his book, Enter Night. What's the best way to get your book?
Well, iUniverse.com is a great place to start. My website will direct you to a variety of other venues. That's kakeith.net. Of course, Amazon will sell you the hard copy as well, iUniverse. Certainly, the ebook formats are awesome because you can access them anytime, anywhere. Anything from iBooks to Kindle to Nook are certainly available broadly out there.
Thank you so much for joining us on iUniverse Radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you.